Mike, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Tom. How about you?
Good. Did you go to the All-Star game last night?
I actually had a whole, my staff went to the All-Star game, but right. I actually still had some late meetings, and by the time I got done with those, I had other things that started early today, so I kind of had it on the TV late in the night. So.
Well, it was good. I mean, you get. I'm happy anytime somebody's hitting 10 home runs in a game. I like watching the ball go out of the stadium. I always have.
Yeah. It was. And I'll tell you what. The city itself has been crazy the last couple of days. So, but that's pretty common with around here. But that just added to it.
Well, Kyle Schwarber making it into the finals and swinging a dinger bat from Ridgeway, Illinois, got a lot of people's attention here.
There you go.
Which
and,
I thought was
cool. And of course, the home run derby was the night before last, which everybody was down there for. Right. So
here we are. We talk the All-Star game, a momentary distraction from the Helsinki summit with Putin and the president. Of course, the president's comments about the misreading words, misspoke, whether he read would or wouldn't.
Whatever.
A rite of contraction. Yeah. So, but, you and I were briefly talking about this before we went on the air. Your takeaway now that we've heard the president's comments, some people say he's walking back or whatever.
This is what people need to know. I voted several times to put real strict restrictions on Russia. I also, believe that the Russians were, we have evidence, I believe, that they were meddling in our elections and other areas of government. They're the Russians. That's what they do. And I don't agree with the style, the way the president handled it. And that's not the first time I haven't agreed with his style. But I do believe it's pretty good to try to improve relations and or relieve tensions between us and some that country that's been our adversaries. It's whether he did or whether he didn't or what he said. I've got a job to do. My job is to make sure that if we show evidence, we put sanctions on them. We've done that. We realize that we've got to work to make sure that they do not have input or play around with through social media and or other means to interfere with our election process, and we're doing our job here, and the administration has to do theirs.
Are you going to be with Vice President Pence in the St. Louis region tomorrow?
It is my intention to be there. He is coming in for a fundraising event for me and O'Fallon mid-afternoon. Now, I say it's my intention to be there. It's my intention to be there if votes get over here early enough that I can make it. If not, it will be my wife being there with the people who are there to participate in that event. And I thank her for that because I cannot leave here for a political fundraising event if there's actual votes. I don't think that's what I was elected for.
Unique, I think, in your perspective, Congressman Mike Boss, today to talk about trade wars, and here's why I see this. First off, you and I both know that your southern district and soybeans are no stranger, while at the same time in your northern portion of your district, Granite City and steel being the impetus for the tariffs. All right, so Granite City wins, but a soybean farmer in your southern district loses, or is that just a gross oversimplification?
Well, here's the thing. The soybean farmer, the hog producer, other livestock producer, and other grain producers. For the long run, it is our hope that we get through this and the administration starts negotiating one-on-one with these countries to try to bring our markets back. Understand what we're watching right now is, and I'm dealing with my farmers on a regular basis. I mean, I met with the soybean producer all this last week to try to figure out, where do we open those new markets? Now, understand, China's the cheater. Nobody questions that. And 232, remember, was done, and that's what put the 800 people back to work in Granite City, which is vitally important for national security. The reaction came after the president went up, and he had to do that too with 301, which is dealing with intellectual property. So, but yes, we've got to work to make sure that we bring those markets back. One thing we have to do, and I've been working with them on, is understand that China will not they can't just shut off the soybean. They use too much. Same thing with hogs, because they're going to have to find somebody who can produce it for them. Argentina, Brazil, both of them can produce, but they can't produce the level that China needs.
And they've also had a drought too, Mike.
And Argentina's had the drought. And so right now, I think sometimes I think that our traders in the boards of trade and the Merck take knee-jerk reactions to things because they can sell short. That not accusing them for doing what they do, which is they try to make money on the market. But what it does is it makes a very shaky ground for the farmer that already has beans in the field and has not had a contract for those beans. So, they're watching it close. I'm watching it close. We're working with them to try to get those markets back up before harvest.
All right. Four states are involved here in this next story. All right, so 7 months ago, we signed into a law here in this country the tax overhaul, the Trump tax overhaul, $1.5 trillion tax overhaul. Now, four states have now filed a lawsuit against the federal government, did this yesterday, in an effort to remove the $10,000 cap on federal deductions for state and local taxes. So they want that money. New York, Connecticut, Maryland, New Jersey, and somewhere, somebody expected me to say Illinois. What do you think? Or all the cap, try to undo?
I don't think they can win that. And let me tell you why I don't think they can win that. There is no constitutional right of a tax break if your state charges you or your locals charge you a high tax rate. I don't know. You know, I'd have to read their lawsuit and see what it's. I mean, I guess it's a great attempt on their part. But the reality is the tax, you know, I mean, understand that the benefit for the overall nation with the tax bill has been a tremendous benefit. You start chipping away at it like this, and never before has, unless it's a tax without representation, which is truly not the case, you know, this is a case for demanding something to be. You receive a benefit because your state charges you real high taxes. That's I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't see how that works. But we'll see how it goes. You know, you never can judge what the court's
going to
do.
You never can judge what the court's going to do, which is why the Supreme Court nomination was so doggone important. And basically,
and this next one is.
But I'm telling you, Mike. You know, you and I have known each other for a long time, and I appreciate inherently adversarial systems. I mean, the court systems are designed to be inherent adversarial. I don't think the legislation has, but that's what it's become, polarized.
Right.
But,
right.
I mean, when I see some of this stuff, when you see a press release out and they don't even put the name in, they forget because they're going to say the same thing, whoever it is. To me, that is, to me, that's bigotry.
Right, right. And we see that a lot. You know what I mean? And it causes a tremendous amount of hate and discontent, which then adds to, and especially when many of these choices were people that they voted on before.
Right.
That's what's really wild. I mean, seriously, the nominee right now has been voted on by that chamber before and received both Democrats and Republicans. Right. So it is a constant battle. It is like other things that are going on. It's like when Maxine Waters calls for harassing of the administration, anyone with the administration when they're out in public. This is just gone to extremes.
Right. Mike, you know, uniquely qualified for the next question as well. An administrator that is, when you were here in the state of Illinois, the Board of Higher Education, all right, now on the federal level, a district that covers SIUC and SIUE, and I know you're altogether familiar with the situation. The way it's progressed, but you've also been on watch on this for a very long time. As I said, when you were here as a representative, you're on the Board of Higher Education. So what's your takeaway after the board's action and Randy Dunn in particular and the hiring of a new interim president?
Well, let me tell you this, that from my position as U.S. Congress, I was asked to take a position, but I can't because that is a state decision. and then also a board decision for the university. But as Mike Bost, let me tell you that I spent 20 years on higher education committee in the state of Illinois. Let me also say that the only thing I did weigh in on that I thought it would be wise to make sure that you had a full board before you made a vote to transfer any funds. I also thought it would be wise that they would do a study to make a decision. Then I saw, unfortunately, a split almost in the board, which we've never had that before, whether there are the four members from Edwardsville or the four members from Carbondale. They work well together over the years. It's a shame that things like this happen. And then I guess whenever the FOIA occurred and the comments went back and forth and those issues that occurred there, you know, the board had to make their decision. But let me tell you this, that when I was on higher ed, we worked, and this is not a joke, this is exactly how they used to, early on, used to refer to them, because you had two major research universities in the state of Illinois, U of I and SIU Carbondale. And SIU Carbondale is a research university because it is part of a system that has multiple campuses, just like U of I has multiple campuses. When it was referred to in committee, it was all we referred to them as U of I, SIU, and the Seven Dwarfs. Hmm. By splitting the university, if that would ever come to pass, one, you would not be able to hold, I believe, your Carnegie research rating by splitting the university, because you'd have two smaller universities. You would also not be able to put the medical school tied with Edwardsville because you wouldn't have the research availability. So the system staying together is vitally important for the operation and the credibility of the SIU system nationwide and worldwide. I think it's a shame that things went down that path. I do not make a judgment call on the board. I think they have to do based on the information they had. The decision was unanimous. I hope that SIU can move forward and continue to grow as they are and be aggressively going out and recruiting for new students in both the Edwardsville and Carbondale campus.
Right. And get to it. That's my first thought. I'm sorry.
Let's do it right now.
Right now. Here's interesting, because we see these projects, and you've been working very hard on this for quite some time, and you're taking another swing at the ball in the St. Louis region, I believe St. Clair County, the National Mike's listening, yeah, taking another swing at the ball. The National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, this is a large project when we're talking about $2 billion, I believe, in spending north of St. Louis.
$2 billion, 3,000 jobs.
Right, and you're taking another swing at it.
We had a very good site at just off of and tied with the property for security purposes at Scott Air Force Base. I believe it would have been the best location. There were some really bad games played with the former administration. However, it was done the way it was, and they started over into the St. Louis area in town, in the city, which is really wild to put something like that that needs the security does in a place where it's so dangerous. So they started, but then after they started, they discovered that they've actually had to stop construction and stop working for several reasons. Bad enough, they discovered some problems with, as far as contamination, some actual contamination that they believe was caused by the government themselves in the 1950s. And not only that, now there are lawsuits pending on some questions on the people who acquired the land and when they acquired the land and who they acquired the land from and tax breaks they took that were not due, and some probable charges that will be coming down the pipe over the land. So
taking tax credits for property they hadn't actually bought, and what we're talking about is developer Paul McKee, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. And even the city themselves and Missouri elected officials have come out and said they don't know whether the project should go on. And I have wrote a letter to the secretary specifically asking him to stop, cease, come and talk to us, and find out what information we need to find out before we proceed, if we're proceeding in the St. Louis. That's just being wise, fiduciary, doing your fiduciary duty.
Right.
I believe that under this administration, if they understand what we're dealing with, they should reevaluate this and go back to the original St. Clair County site that was originally proposed.
Okay, now I see.
That's where we're arguing.
Good. So. Hey, all right, so might make it back into the region tomorrow, depending on some votes, things along that line. And with that in mind, what do you see on the horizon that we need to know back here in Southern Illinois that you're working on in D.C.?
Well, one thing we're working on today that for our veterans, so you know this, we are moving into a time and trying to figure out what the VA and DOD rating is going to be, because we have a new situation. You know, we had Agent Orange in Vietnam,
yeah.
And for a long time they denied that that was the case. Well, we've got what's known as burn pits now. They haven't been used in several years, but they were used during Iraq 1-2, Iran-Iraq. Conflicts. They were used on a regular basis. We're aggressively doing a roundtable today with people involved. We're wanting the Department of Defense to come and talk to us so that we can kind of have an oversight while we have information that allows for the sensible looking back and using the right science to find out, okay, this exposure, what are we looking at? How did it affect our veterans? What are we looking at in the future with these veterans? Do they have status for claims? And, you know, I mean, and that's what we're dealing with that committee. We're moving forward with the budget on different areas of the budget. We actually believe that the Senate we know the Senate is actually taking up the budget instead of trying to pass an omnibus bill this year. So we're hoping we're going to be able to get that done. We come back for one more week next week. Before the House will be going to the August break, which is back in district for August. Be a lot of meetings throughout the district during the month of August. The Senate is not going to come back. They're going to try to get their work done. They're sitting on over 800 bills. We have sent them, and we hope that they're going to get that done. We're hoping that they're going to get done, or at least move forward with the decision on filling the Supreme Court seat. So it's a busy time. We're working on local issues as well. You know, we've got a lot of things on the defense budget. I'm meeting with the Secretary of Defense today. She's coming in because we have about four projects, very important projects that need to be done at Scott Air Force Base, including a building of a hangar, or possibly bringing in the C-45 refuelers, which is the newest refueler, which will replace the refuelers that have been up there for years. You know, that's one of the largest refueling bait units in the nation. It is a reserve unit, but it is vitally important, running a fuel line from Mid-America over so that we don't have to transport that fuel, that it will be a direct line to be able to fuel and load those refueling planes, and also bringing, there's a smaller jet craft that is probably going to be coming to Scott Air Force Base as well.
So a lot on your menu. By the way, when the Secretary of Defense, I noticed the DOD did a research project and released it yesterday on health of U.S. soldiers, and was talking about, in particular, binge drinking. And I did notice that the average soldier is 30% of them binge drink mornings, but Marines, it's 42.6.
Well, I always said that the Marines can teach a lot of things that are good and sometimes not so good.
I think you handled that rather well, Mike.
Yeah.